Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Ross King's The Bookseller of Florence. The story of the manuscripts that illuminated the Renaissance is a work of narrative history focused on the world of 15th century. Florence and the people who made books before print transformed the trade. Its central figure is Vespasiano da Bisticci, a celebrated bookseller and manuscript entrepreneur whose workshop supplied beautifully produced handwritten books to popes, princes, and scholars across Europe. King uses Vespasiano's career to explain how manuscripts were collected, copied, decorated, and circulated in the Renaissance, and why classical learning mattered so deeply to humanist culture. The book also examines the arrival of the printing press in Florence and the way this new technology altered book production, intellectual exchange, and the status of scribes and illuminators. It is both a biography and a cultural history, showing how books functioned as works of art, instruments of learning, and agents of historical change. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Vespasiano da Bisticci as the key broker of Renaissance learning. The book is built around Vespasiano da Bisticci, who was not simply a bookseller but a central mediator between texts, scholars, and elite patrons. King presents him as a figure whose influence came from knowing what to copy, whom to supply, and how to satisfy clients who wanted books that projected learning and status. This matters because Renaissance intellectual life depended on access to rare classical and theological texts, and Vespasiano helped determine which works reached important readers. The book shows that book culture was shaped by personal networks as much as by institutions, with Vespasiano serving popes, rulers, and humanists who wanted libraries that reflected their ambitions. By centering one merchant, King makes visible the commercial and social infrastructure behind Renaissance scholarship. The result is a biography that is also a study of cultural brokerage, where knowledge moved through trusted intermediaries rather than through anonymous publishing systems. Secondly, manuscript production as skilled labor, art, and intellectual preservation. A major theme of the book is the manuscript itself as a crafted object. King describes how books in Vespasiano's world were copied by scribes, corrected by scholars, and illuminated by artists, which meant that producing a single volume required specialized labor and considerable expense. This helps explain why books were precious possessions and why libraries signified power and refinement. The book emphasizes that manuscript culture was not primitive in any simple sense. It was a highly developed system for preserving and transmitting knowledge with visual and textual care. By focusing on the making of books, King shows how classical works survived the Middle Ages and were repackaged for Renaissance readers. The physical beauty of these manuscripts also mattered, because presentation reinforced authority and prestige. This topic is important to the book's argument because it frames the manuscript age as a sophisticated cultural system rather than merely a stage waiting to be replaced by print. Thirdly, humanism and the recovery of classical antiquity in Florence. The book places Vespasiano's trade within the humanist project of recovering, editing, and reading ancient texts. Florence appears as a place where scholars, collectors, and patrons believed that Greek and Roman writings could inform moral judgment, political thought, and civic life. King uses this setting to show that the search for manuscripts was driven by more than antiquarian curiosity. It was tied to a wider intellectual movement that treated classical learning as a source of renewal. The books sold by Vespasiano were often works by authors such as Plato, Aristotle, Cicero, and church fathers, reflecting a blend of secular and religious interests typical of the period. This matters because it explains why manuscript collecting was so competitive and why libraries were seen as tools of self-fashioning as well as scholarship. King's account makes clear that the Renaissance was not just an artistic flowering, but also a literary and scholarly recovery project built around texts. Fourthly, the printing press as a disruptive technology in the book trade. Another central topic is the arrival of print and its impact on Vespasiano's business. King treats the printing press not as an abstract invention, but as a practical disruption that changed how books were produced, priced, and distributed. Hand-copied manuscripts had been the foundation of the book trade, yet print introduced faster production and broader availability, threatening the old business model built on elite, customized volumes. The book carefully shows the tension between continuity and change. Scribes did not simply disappear, but many roles shifted, and the trade adapted in uneven ways. This makes the history concrete, because it reveals that technological change in book culture was gradual and economically consequential, rather than instantaneous. By following Vespasiano through this transition, King also shows the emotional and cultural cost of obsolescence. The book's analysis of print is therefore not celebratory in a simple sense. It is attentive to what new technology displaced, as well as what it enabled. Lastly, Florence's political and religious world as the backdrop to book culture. King does not isolate books from their setting. Instead, he connects Vespasiano's career to the political and religious turmoil of Renaissance Italy. Florence, papal politics, elite patronage, and wider European conflict all shaped the demand for books and the movement of ideas. This matters because manuscripts were not just private luxuries. They were tied to reputation, diplomacy, and institutional power. Patrons commissioned libraries to display learning and legitimacy, while scholars used books to argue about ethics, theology, and governance. The book's attention to this context shows how knowledge circulated within a world of competing authorities and shifting alliances. It also explains why the same texts could serve devotional, scholarly, and political purposes at once. King's broader historical frame prevents the book from becoming a narrow trade history, and instead makes it a study of how material culture interacts with public life. In that sense, the book shows that the history of books is also the history of social order. In conclusion, The Bookseller of Florence should appeal most strongly to readers interested in Renaissance history, the history of the book, humanism, and the material culture of knowledge. It is especially useful for readers who want a narrative history that explains not only what changed during the transition from manuscript to print, but also how those changes affected labor, status, and intellectual life. Compared with general books on the Renaissance, it stands out for its narrow but revealing focus on Vespasiano da Bisticci, which allows Ross King to connect individual careers to larger cultural shifts. Compared with technical histories of printing, it is more literary and human-centered, giving equal weight to manuscripts as artworks and to books as vehicles of power and learning. The book also offers a strong bridge between art history and intellectual history, making it valuable for readers who want to understand how Renaissance ideas were materially produced and circulated. Its main strength is that it turns a specialized subject into a broad account of how knowledge was preserved, valued, and transformed at a turning point in European history. If you would like to support Ross King, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.